It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning. How about that? October 2nd. Glad that you're with us, and what a beautiful start to the morning. Had to put on the old hoodie this morning to head out the door. A little chilly out there. I think it was 48 in my truck when I got in this morning.
It is sweater weather, baby, and I am here for it.
Are you ready for it?
Yesterday was, I mean, if I could pick a perfect weather day, it was yesterday.
Yes. Yeah, it was very nice out there and spent most of it inside, unfortunately. Just one of those days, middle of the week, you'd love to get outside. Hopefully we get the grandkids out today. We're going to get to see them. So we're looking forward to that. That'll be good. Hopefully you're taking advantage of it. It's going to heat back up, right? This is St. Louis. We've still got some summer left in us, apparently. At some point here in the next week.
Well, fall's always the season. Fall and spring, you don't know how to dress.
No.
I know what they're layer. I just wear layers. Okay, well, that's confusing.
Don't put anything away yet, would be my advice.
Get your winter clothes out, but also don't put away your summer. Basically, every item that you own of clothing, keep it all out because you might need it in 1 week.
It's true. It's very true. By the way, we've been live on Rumble all morning. We hope you can join us on there. We may be live again on Facebook at some point, just not right now. And, of course, X. We're live up there on X. By the way, I have a poll going on X this morning on who won the debate last night. Obviously non-scientific because it's on X, but we have had almost 1,000 people have responded to it so far. So this is your chance to chime in. Go to @MarkCox971. That's MarkCox 971. And cast your vote before it ends. The poll is going to end in about 20 minutes, roughly. And you have an opportunity to get on there and vote and share it. And we'll have the results for you before the end of the show. Who won the debate last night? I thought it was pretty clear. The mainstream media, like CBS News, wants you to believe it was a draw of all things. I don't know who in the world is buying that one, for sure. I don't know who's buying what they're selling. Coming up, we're going to get you an update on what's going on in Israel. We are awaiting a response from Bibi Netanyahu on the attack by Iran. So that's going to be, we're going to get a live report from Israel, from Trey Yangst, who's been reporting over there for Fox News, and they vowed retaliation. We'll see how soon that might happen. I imagine we'll all be surprised about it at the same time the Iranians are. I'm not going to warn them that it's coming. So we'll get to Trey coming up in just a minute. First, though, a quick look at the shortlist.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
And look, I'm a hunter. I own firearms. The vice president is. We understand that the Second Amendment is there, but our first responsibility is to our kids to figure this out.
Yeah, J.D. Vance missed an opportunity here last night on the whole guns issue, and you know, that was Waltz up there thinking, you need to pause the Second Amendment and do this for the kids, because he believes it's all about the guns and not the criminals.
Thank
Margaret, the rules were that the you guys weren't going to fact check. And since you're fact checking me, I think it's important to say what's actually going on.
Yeah.
So there's an application called the CBP One app.
Thank you, J.D. Vance. The rules were we will not fact check you, but the snarky, smug, arrogant moderators from CBS continually had to intervene and stick their own comments in right at the end and before they switched subjects. And J.D. Vance called him out on it.
No one is in charge of our country, and it's not even clear Really, I mean, who's in charge between the two of them? You have a president, I guess. You have a vice president, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. But one of them's on the beach. One of them's campaigning. One of them will apparently fly over the damage today in the Carolinas on a helicopter, but will not land. That should be Joe Biden if he wakes up from his morning slumber.
I speak a lot about the leaders of Iran. Yet at this pivotal moment, I want to address you, the people of Iran.
I want you to think about what happened yesterday in a single day, Kim. The commerce along the East Coast and the Southern Coast around Louisiana of the United States came to a screeching halt because of a labor union negotiation that Joe Biden refuses to step in and deal with. He doesn't want to take the risk of pissing off a union this close to the election, so he's going to let the American people feel the pain instead, because that's what's going to happen. The stores are going to start running out of stuff. The car dealers are going to start running out of cars. All these ports up and down the East Coast, even down Louisiana and all, where they're bringing in fresh fruit from South America, all that shut down. You're not going to be able to get those things. The ones on the West Coast are still open, but there's a delay in getting all that stuff over here. So that happened yesterday morning. And then we had the attacks on Israel during the middle of the day. And then we had, of course, the vice presidential debate last night. And it was a pretty momentous day when you think about it. In the middle of all of this, they've got air raid sirens going off in Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, all over Israel, warning people to go to bomb shelters. 200 missiles sent by the Iranians. And you can argue till you're blue in the face that it was just that they weren't seriously about targeting anyone. They just wanted to send a message. Well, I got a feeling the Jews in Israel are about to send a message back. And I think we're not going to know it's about to happen. We're just going to hear of explosions happening in Tehran when they target these nuclear facilities, and I hope they take them out. And Joe Biden better not say a word about it. This situation would not be happening if it wasn't for the weakness of the Harris-Biden administration.
I just don't know if you send that many missiles over just to send a message. I mean, maybe that was a component of it, but I don't think you send as many as they did. And thank goodness for the Iron Dome and the fact that it worked. And no one ended up getting hurt from these specific missiles that were sent over. I mean, I know some landed in a field, too. And again, thankfully, no one was injured.
Wait till the F-35s deliver some bunker busters into a couple of these nuclear facilities, and the Iranians won't even know they're there. And then they're going to start scratching their heads. And maybe at some point they'll ask themselves, maybe it's time to stop screwing around with Israel, because we get our butts kicked every time. Listen, I tell you what, I'll wait, though. When we come back, I'm going to play you the warning yesterday that Bibi Netanyahu, the prime minister, sent to the people of Iran. We'll get to all that and more, and a live report from Trey Yangst from Israel when we come back.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I speak a lot about the leaders of Iran, yet at this pivotal moment, I want to address you, the people of Iran. I want to do so directly, without filters, without middlemen. Every day, you see a regime that subjugates you make fiery speeches about defending Lebanon, defending Gaza. Yet every day, That regime plunges our region deeper into darkness and deeper into war. Every day, their puppets are eliminated. Ask Muhammad Dev. Ask Nasrallah. There is nowhere in the Middle East Israel cannot reach. There's nowhere we will not go to protect our people and protect our country. With every passing moment, the regime is bringing you, the noble Persian people, closer to the abyss. The vast majority of Iranians know their regime doesn't care a whit about them.
Yeah. Bibi Netanyahu yesterday with a message to Iranians to pay attention to where their leaders here, their radical militant leaders are dragging them as a country. I mean, they vowed to the destruction of Israel, and now they are bombing Israel just because Israeli intelligence managed to infiltrate their pet terrorism group called Hezbollah and blow a bunch of them up. They're mad about that they've gone into Lebanon and done this and done that at will. So what are we going to do? We're going to lob 200 rockets into Israel. Folks, this is getting serious. I don't know where it goes. I would hope it's not a full-blown war. I think Iran loses that war. But I think to myself, you know, here we are in a religious holiday month, basically, for the Jewish faith. What is tomorrow, Carl? What do we say? Rosh Hashanah tomorrow?
It's tomorrow. And then, yeah, of course, after that.
Yeah. And, I mean, I don't know what I don't know if that's coordinated for the holiday. I mean, I don't think so. But let's face it, the October 7th attack happened on a holiday too. Coming up on 1 year since what, 1,200, 1,300 Jewish people were either taken hostage or slaughtered at the hands of these crazies in Hamas, and now it's Hezbollah on the other end of the country in Lebanon. And I can't imagine what it must be like to live there. It's got to be awful. I watched a little bit of the reporting yesterday from the gentleman we're about to talk to right now with the air raid sirens going off. And we've got Trey Yangst on the phone right now from Haifa, I believe. Trey, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, my friend. I'm not in the middle of a war zone, though. Tell me, what is the latest over there in Israel?
Well, the latest is the Israelis are trying to determine right now what their response is going to be to this massive ballistic missile attack overnight. 180 missiles launched from Iranian territory toward Israel. And we know that Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met with his top officials today, including the Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, and they are determining how they're going to respond to an attack that was much larger than the attack that occurred back in April.
Yeah, I wondered. I watched some of the video. Obviously, the rockets exploding in midair as they're intercepted. I heard you break that down very well yesterday in terms of the Iron Dome is not designed to catch everything that's thrown at it, correct?
Absolutely. And when the missiles are this large, the Israelis have to resort to a more advanced system that's quite costly. Initial reports indicate it's about $2 million a shot, and it's called the Arrow 3 system, and it's able to intercept these incoming ballistic missiles. But what was interesting about last night is that we saw so many impacts close to Israeli airfields and even in residential areas, and it gives you a sense of the damage that these missiles can do if they do slip past some of this missile defense.
Now, I know nobody was injured from these missiles, thank goodness, in part because of the Iron Dome. But then we hear about how 8 people were shot and killed in Tel Aviv, I think minutes before the warning siren started going off, and then these missiles were launched into Israel. Has anyone taken responsibility for that shooting?
We understand that this was a terror attack, according to the police, and that 7 people were killed. This took place just south of Israel's economic capital of Tel Aviv, in a place called Jaffa, next to a new light rail that just had been built there in a very populated area with restaurants and cafes. And it appears that these two assailants crossed from the West Bank and ultimately were able to get a gun and a knife and conducted the attack. And so the investigation is still ongoing to determine exactly who they are and if they have any affiliations with Hamas or Islamic Jihad, for example. but it is one of the worst attacks in the Tel Aviv area in recent years.
Yeah. Trey Yinks from Fox News joining us now from Haifa in Israel. So what is a measured response, Trey? When you've had 180 missiles fired at you, something tells me that when Israel does act, it's going to be meaningful.
Absolutely. Israeli officials say this is not a question of if Israel responds, but rather when and where. But initial reports indicate that the Israelis will look to inflict at least some level of financial damage on the Iranian regime. The Times of Israel, that's been very good at following developments on the ground, is now reporting, according to a source, that Israel's response to Iran's missile attack will aim to cause significant financial damage. And again, that's reporting from the Times of Israel. But it would make sense because the Israelis want to change the escalation ladder dynamic. They want to change the equation in the region, and they don't want Iran to feel that they can get away with large-scale attacks against their country without a significant response.
Well, we'll be watching for your coverage and then the coverage on Fox News throughout the day. Trey Yinks, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Be safe over there, please. Trey, reporting from Haifa. I was watching the video yesterday when he's standing there and like behind him over his head is these things blowing up. Who was the Scud Stud back during the first?
I can picture him.
Yeah, Iraq. Was it in Iraq when he was standing there? The first Iraq. Why can I not think of the guy's name?
He went to NBC.
Yeah. And he was there wearing the helmet and they made fun of him on CNN and all that.
Someone listening right now knows the answer to this question and is screaming it at the radio.
Beyond that, I don't know why the guy's
Arthur Kent.
Arthur Kent, the Scud Stud. I don't know whatever happened to that guy. I think he got discredited at some point. But I remember watching him with those missiles going off with Trey yesterday. It was like a fireworks display behind him with the Iron Dome and the other defense systems picking off these rockets as they came in. Pretty amazing technology, no doubt about it. Coming up, a quick check-in with Taylor Riggs from the Fox Business Network. The threat of war impacting the stock market today.
You worried that this strike...
They have the capital to settle this thing.
Are you worried that this strike is going to hurt the everyday American, the farmers that need to reach the export market? They're telling me that they're going
to
hurt
them. Now you start to realize who the longshoremen are, right?
Nobody cares.
People never gave a about us until now, when they finally realized that the chain is being broke now. Cars won't come in. Food won't come in. Clothing won't come in. You know how many people depend on our jobs? Half the world. And it's time for them and time for Washington to put so much pressure on them to take care of us, because we took care of them and we're here 135 years and brought them where they are today, and they don't want to share.
That is Harold Dagnabbit. I mean, Daggett, who runs the Longshoremen's Union up there. Vinny Testosterone. I want you to know.
You sound like a pirate now.
I'm sorry, but that's what it reminds me. That's who he reminds me of. There's a big story of it today that Biden is all in for these longshoremen, and he's pressuring these companies to settle with them.
The 70% wage increase they want?
Yeah, but that's why I'm anxious to talk to Taylor Riggs about this, because the issue here, I don't think, is the money. They're afraid of the automation, which has absolutely revolutionized shipping in China. If you've looked at any of the videos from over there, let's get to Taylor from the Big Money Show there on Fox Business. And Taylor, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I just played a soundbite from this Harold Daggett, who wants you to appreciate the longshoremen a little more. And he's talking about how Americans are going to start to suffer, and pretty soon they're going to appreciate the job the longshoremen do a lot more. What's your take on how this has gone down?
Ooh, okay, so first of all, we're hearing estimates that for every day that the port is shut down, it's costing our economy about $4 billion. So on one hand, I really sympathize with workers who are feeling the effects of inflation after the Biden-Kamala Harris administration. Prices are up about 20% on average in the last 4 years. So I really do sympathize with people who feel like their wage isn't keeping up with inflation. But, you know, that's sort of a separate conversation to what we're having here about this sort of trying to hold the economy hostage. just for a negotiating power. They know that they have a lot of negotiating power because this is a Biden administration and a Kamala Harris administration who has said, we like unions and unions have all the power and we only want union workers. We don't want a free market capitalist society. And there is a place for unions in this country, don't get me wrong. But to sort of hold up the economy hostage on this, I just don't know if this is going to come back to bite them. Prices are already up. We had inflation starting to cool off a little bit. I'm really worried that this is just going to reverse inflation and have it spike up again. You mentioned, you know, a great point on automation. I was speaking with the CEO of Import Genius yesterday. It's just a data analytics tracking firm, right, that tracks imports and exports and all the data around it. He mentioned that Rotterdam, Shanghai, they are automating like crazy, and those ports are so efficient. He said the last time during the George Bush era, I think it was back in 2002 when they were thinking of doing a strike, it was all over who they wanted someone to manually scan a barcode when the cargo on the truck left the port. Instead of just having a computer do it, your iPhone could do it,
yeah,
right?
Right.
So, again, that's sort of what we're up in arms about. And my worry is automation creates efficiency and productivity. So if we're now saying that you're not allowed to automate everything because I want, you know, the job, you know, and on one hand, I sympathize with that, but I don't think we can fight automation. We need to use automation and technology to our advantage. I don't think we can say we're not ever allowed to do this. So if they don't get automation in the contract, maybe it'll buy them a couple years. But I think the long-term trend is very, very clear that, you know, technology is here to help free us up to be more productive in other ways. And I'm really not sure how much they're going to win this fight.
Taylor, I don't know if you had a chance to watch last night's vice presidential debate, but one thing Tim Walz was talking about was how, oh, you know, the Trump tax cuts, those really just help the wealthiest Americans and the big corporations. And that's what he's trying to do again if you reelect him. And that's just simply not true. In fact, your colleague Charles Payne was posting about how the IRS data proves, in fact, that the Trump tax cuts were benefiting the middle class, working class Americans the most.
Yes. And, you know, the top 1% in this country pay 45% of all individual income taxes collected by the government.
Right.
So when they say the wealthy needs to pay their fair share, I'm saying they're already paying almost half of all the individual income revenue this government has. What more is fair share? And, you know, I think to your point, those tax cuts were, I mean, sure, they helped corporations in terms of bringing down the tax rate, but then the corporations in turn gave us all raises,
right,
which is why our wages were higher than inflation under Trump and why wages are lower than inflation in the current administration. So it really helps the middle class. The data is clear, but there's sort of the narrative out there that because Trump's a smart real estate developer, that he only wants to help the rich people. You know, the data is clear. You know, were you better off 4 years ago than you are now? That's sort of the answer to all of these questions when they want to try to go against the data.
Yeah, you know, Taylor Riggs with us from the Fox Business Network, and the war in Israel obviously has started to have an impact on oil prices potentially. I know that's going to be hit first.
Uh-huh.
And what other impacts is it having on the market right now?
Yeah, so, you know, great question. The immediate knee-jerk reaction yesterday, we're seeing a little bit similar today, is sort of sell out of equities. That's sort of a risk asset. When you get nervous, you sell stocks and you go into a safe haven asset like a U.S. Treasury. Oil is rising, right? Because clearly all the tensions in the Middle East impact oil. Then in turn, it impacts Bitcoin. So Bitcoin, for example, is all the way back down to 60,000. We had been closing in on 66, 67,000 just a few weeks ago. So it's sort of this knee-jerk reaction of sell everything that is appearing to be risky and buy everything that is safe. Some of that is reversing a little bit today, as I think we realized the attack yesterday, is that contained? Is that all that that was? Do we not escalate further? And so you're seeing a little bit of a sigh of relief today. But again, coming off the debate yesterday, J.D. Vance was very clear. You have peace through strength. When you are strong, your allies show up and your adversaries shy away because they are worried about, you know, what you will do when you are strong. When we appear weak on the global stage, you have Russia invading Ukraine and you have, you know, Iran and Israel at each other's throats. So I think the takeaway is, again, peace through strength. And we'll have to see again how it sort of impacts these markets. But hopefully, you know, oil prices are absolutely the thing to watch. And that will impact what we pay here at the pump in a few weeks when that trickles through.
And I don't want to hold you any longer, but one final comment here. All of these things, I don't believe in completely coincidence. I know the longshoremen are taking advantage of a political situation here, but if these companies don't settle, Joe Biden is putting Kamala Harris in a bit of a ringer here, because this is going to start to impact the economy and jobs and people's ability to get bananas and automobiles and everything else. And then you've got what's going on in the Middle East compounding all of that.
Well, and just like we saw during COVID, these nonsense policies help big businesses.
Yeah.
Costco last week said, we've been preparing for this. We've rerouted our ships to the West Coast. We're not doing the East Coast. You know who can't do that? The mom and pop business on Main Street. Mm-hmm. They're the ones suffering because they don't have these supply chain, you know, expertise. They don't have the money to be able to just in a click of an eye, you know, to be able to move ports from the East Coast to the West Coast. So
right.
The big companies like Amazon are going to be fine, and it's mom and pop businesses who are going to suffer.
Just amazing. Taylor, thanks so much. We'll be watching the Big Money Show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're great. We appreciate it. She's just so down to earth with these explanations of how this is going down.
Honestly, some of these things are so convoluted. I need them dumbed down to understand.
I know. It's pretty amazing how it's all just kind of coming together at once. That could be a tsunami. It's a little risky on the Biden administration's part to try to leverage a pay raise for these businesses right now. When you know, just like what she said, if they shut down any chance of automation, it's coming at some point. They're just kicking that can down the road. There's no way these guys are getting away from automation taking over some of these jobs at some point.
There has to be a balance.
It's got to. All right, we're going to be back with some final thoughts in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Alder being accused of deliberate misinformation. They've released a political ad that claims to depict two former Trump voters who live in Pennsylvania and who have switched to Team Kamala after the horrors of January 6th. But this pair of farmers shown in the ad appear to in fact be two actors, Robert Lang and Christina Chadwick, and they have an extensive history of kosher of donating to the Democrats and leftist causes dating back to at least 2016. For a party that talks endlessly about the dangers of disinformation and misinformation, they engage in plenty of it.
Wow, that is Sky News, in case you're wondering, reporting on something the mainstream. I'm waiting for the mainstream media to either debunk this or report on it, one of the two. Sky News is reporting on it, that there's a Kamala Harris ad running in Pennsylvania with these two people claiming to be farmers who supported Trump, but they've switched after January 6th, and now they're all in for Kamala Harris. Sky News claims they are paid actors. They name them by name, and they show pictures of them in, like, acting photos that they've used.
Yeah, that's interesting. I would not put it past the liberals to do that.
Oh, no.
I mean,
think
of all the influencers they paid tens of thousands of dollars just to come to the DNC.
And they were talking to an American reporter about this. Listen.
And then creating sort of these narratives or almost fictional narratives of these two Trump supporters returned supposedly in this case, and it turns out they're Democrat actors. You can't make this stuff up, and it's pretty brazen. But the question, of course, is will these antics make it into the mainstream or not with a media that's very favorable to her? But to the extent that it does, I do think things like this are damaging because it just goes to that point that she's not a very authentic candidate.
Yeah.
My takeaway is I wish I had a cool accent like that.
Yeah, no kidding. I could listen to it all day. It's absolutely the truth. By the way, I don't know who you thought won the debate last night. I thought it was pretty clear cut. CBS News wants you to believe it was a tie. Politico wants you to believe it was a tie, but the American people don't believe it was a tie. There's a whole bunch of polling out there and instant polls this morning where they've all got, you know, Vance running away with this 59-32%, even among partisan audiences and even among independents. I saw another poll among independents where it was showing the same thing. We ran our own poll last night on Twitter. I tweeted throughout the debate and, you know, the fact that the moderators were so biased and they were fact-checking and sticking their own little comments in. But here's the thing. Our poll is overwhelming. And here's the thing. We had 928 votes from the time I started this 11 hours ago. Now, almost 1,000 people voted in our online Twitter poll. And here are the final results. Tim Walz, 8%, and the other 92% going to J.D. Vance.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
It's not scientific. I know that. But 1,000 people took the time to cast their votes in this. And that's not a small sample
now,
of people.
Albeit probably a lot of people who follow you are probably right-leaning, conservative. Okay, so I will say that. However, to me, it just was so obvious. You even have analysts from CNN and MSNBC, and very left-leaning outlets who are agreeing that J.D. Vance ran away with this debate last night, that it was very clear Tim Walz needed more reps. He should have been doing these interviews like J.D. Vance does to get some practice.
Yes. And you know, near the end, he was doing better than he did at the beginning. So a little bit of practice might have made him even better at the debate had he actually done it. But I think there's no doubt about it that the J.D. Vance was the savage on the debate stage last night. And he outsmarted the moderators and he outsmarted Tim Walz by a whole bunch.
I think the word you used earlier was he slayed.
He slayed.
Yeah.
My teenage daughter would cringe to hear me say that.
You got to keep up with the times, you know?
Slayed.
You got to stay cool.
It was lit. Isn't that right, Carl? That's what I would think when I hear that. It was lit, for sure.
Was it lit?
Was it lit? That's my son from years ago, and he hates it when we run that sound.
Was it lit?
That's for you, Brad, if you're listening this morning. Oh, boy. Hey, Kilmeade's up next. I'm sure they're going to have more debate fallout. Stay tuned for the Annie Fry Show, the Mark Reardon Show later today. We're back Thursday morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.